really nervous. Nothing major, just about to pee on myself, but okay.
If you ever need a boost for your ego, just work with teenagers. It'll boost you every time. But beware, they will be honest. It's funny, it doesn't matter how many times you get up here, you always get nervous. And it takes a little bit longer each time. The closer it gets to the time, you're just like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. So, here we go. I'm excited. It's been a rough week. When you think about the stuff that our church has been through, it's been a rough week. And I had the joy of stepping away from Morganton for a little while this week, and I got to go on a fifth grade field trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. They needed another chaperone, and so I got to step out and do something different for a couple days. And exciting trip. You never know what's going to happen. I had a little girl with a headache, and in the back of the bus where the teachers aren't, it gets really loud. And so I told her, I said, since you've got a headache, just come sit up here beside of me and it's quiet up here and you can sleep and maybe your headache will go away. Well, she came up and she sat beside of me, and it was about maybe 3 minutes I found myself sitting in the splash zone. Yeah. I don't know what she had eaten, but it was a lot. So, I didn't know I could move that fast, but I did. But that's kind of the way life works. It's full of surprises. Anna Hollifield, are you back there? How are you feeling? Better? Yeah. She turned red one day, itched that afternoon, and then the next day she couldn't move. We didn't know what was going on. So again, surprises, they come up all the time. Well, just like with our week, you know, sometimes you just have to take it in stride. You just kind of have to laugh it off and go on. And that's why some people look at us Christians like we're crazy, because we have bad things happen to us, and we're like, but God's in control, God loves us, and it's going to be okay. And that's actually what my sermon is based around this morning. I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 11. And Pastor Ron usually has you stand up, and he usually reads a verse, so I figure we'll do that too. So let's stand up, and we're going to read John chapter 11, verse 4. And if your Bible is a red letter edition, let's skip to Jesus' words right there. Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And that scripture right there, will it goes right along with a whole sermon that I have prepared. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your many blessings, God. And I just thank you for you being you and taking care of us and loving us and showing us your passive righteousness, God, and letting us glorify you through our lives, Lord, when we're obedient to what you would have us to do, God. Help me to be obedient this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will anoint me to allow me to say what you would have me to say, be bold, and be a witness to those out there that do not know you, God. I love you so much, and I do all this in your name, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody is familiar with this scripture. And usually when I preach, I like to find something, when I teach the youth, I like to find something that everybody hasn't heard before. Well, what's something new? And there's quite a bit in the Bible that's different, that maybe you haven't heard before, maybe you haven't read before. But there's a reason why some of these stories are classics. There's a reason why preachers always go back to these certain stories, because there's just certain themes that stick out in those that really can speak to you in times of need. And I really feel like the more I studied the scripture, the more I realized that this scripture is exactly what God would have for our church this week. I'm going to do the youth love it when I do this. I'm going to do about the whole chapter. So hang in there. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. I don't know if he was sick like Miss Hollifield or if he was sick like that little girl beside him. We just know he was sick. And he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So that right there shows you that this lady loves Jesus. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Okay, so what is she doing? We do this every time somebody gets sick. We have a whole list of them on the back of the bulletin. It's called a prayer request. And we go to Jesus and we're like, "God, I got a problem. Will you take care of it?" Well, Jesus hasn't died and resurrected yet, but in a sense, this is prayer. She's saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick. Lazarus, my brother, I love him, you love him, he's sick. I need you to come heal him." Verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And you see, God has a plan. There's bad things that's going to happen. There's rough times you're going to go through. But God has a plan. Sickness will not end in death. He wants to take care of you, and it's for God's glory. He wants you to praise His name through this hard time, because when you come out on the other side, it's going to be really easy to praise His name. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, as a fourth grade teacher and in the writing test, my first thought is, why does He have two hands in there? Because that's not right. That's my first thought. But then my second thought was, well, that's because they're equal. He loves each one of them equally. And He's not going to put a comma in between them. He loves this one and this one and this one and this one, just like with each one of you. He loves each one of you. I'm going to have to get me a large print Bible, Mom, because sometimes I look down and I lose my place. I used to make fun of her for it, because she'd read, you know, in the beginning, God created. Sorry. She has contacts now. She's hip and cool. All right. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where He was two more days. Jesus loved them. Jesus stayed there two more days. And you see the word yet. That means He didn't want to. He didn't want to stay two more days. He didn't want to wait. He wanted to go on. But He knew that God had a plan. He knew there was a reason why God wanted Him to wait two more days. And there's a plan. I can't say that enough, that God has a plan. There's a reason things happen the way they do. Then He said to His disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Okay. Jesus has His own set of problems. Jesus knows that if He goes back there, He could possibly die. The disciples know that if He goes back there, they could possibly die. But who does God put or who does Jesus put first? He puts His friends first, and He puts God's will first. Huh, that sounds really familiar. Sounds like some really important scripture that I've read before about putting God first and then putting your neighbors first and then yourself. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. It's light in here. I'm not stumbling. I'm walking. Have you ever thought about what a stumble is? Did I hit the ground? Did I bloody my nose? Did I break a hip? No, I just stumbled a little bit. That's all. That's all a stumble is. All right, let's go back and look at this again. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. Who's the light of the world? Jesus is the light of the world. So a man who walks by Jesus will not even stumble. Stumble is not even a full fall. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he knows the world's light. Jesus is the light of the world. He shows you who God is. So therefore, day must be knowledge of God. So if you walk by day, the knowledge of God, you will not stumble, for you will see by the light of the world, by the world's light. As when he walks by night, that he stumbles, for he has no light. For when he walks on his own accord, when he chooses his own path, when he says, I want to do this anyway, despite the consequences, when he says, I've got my own ambitions, I've got my own desires that I want to follow, that's when man stumbles. And a stumble, if you stumble enough, what's going to happen? You're going to bust your face. You're going to break your hip. You're going to end up being a pregnant teenager. You're going to end up being addicted to drugs. You're going to end up being addicted to pornography. You're going to be all these things that we see tearing our nation apart. Those start with a simple stumble. You mess up one time. And it's funny how Jesus plugs this in right here. Jesus wanted to go on ahead of time But he knew that wasn't God's plan. So he waited. And that was God's will. He was walking by God's knowledge, by the knowledge of God. He knew he had to wait. Now, he plugs that in there. It's called a teachable moment in the education field. Those of you that teach around kids, those are called teachable moments. You know, that's a time when you can take something that's going on, has absolutely nothing to do with what you're teaching in the classroom or at home, and you teach the kid about something else. And to me, that was a teachable moment that Jesus took a time in his life when he could say, now look at this, disciples. Here's a time that you, here's something you can learn from this very situation. All right, verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Now, Jesus was being nice about it. He knew Lazarus was dead. He was just saying it nicely. He had passed away. He had fallen asleep. Now, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. How many times will we say that? Yeah, just let him sleep. You know, they'll get better. It'll be all right. We don't need to pray for them. It's just a little cold or something. It'll be all right. And we don't need to go down there because if we go down there, we could die. So just let him sleep. He'll get better and we don't have to go down there and we won't have to die. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he gets better. He will get better. And Jesus has been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, sometimes you just have to do that. Sometimes when you're witnessing to somebody, you can't say, if you want to be saved, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, to us that have been in church all of our lives, that makes a lot of sense, and we have a lot of good feelings inside about that. But when you're talking to someone who's never been in church and knows nothing about our Lord Jesus Christ, so, save me from what? Okay? So sometimes you have to put stuff in context, in words that they understand. So Jesus did that for his disciples. He told them, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Jesus knows the plan. Isn't that interesting? God's Son knows the plan. So then, verse 16. Now, I like Thomas. This is doubting Thomas. And I know there's quite a few times in my life I have been doubting Thomas. Oh. That doesn't make any sense. Well, let's go do it anyway. Verse 16. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go then. Let us go that we may die with him." Oh well, we're gonna die. Let's just go on down there. Let's just go on. Woe is me. You know, lack of faith. Have faith that Jesus is going to take care of you. Know that if he says we're going to go down there and we're going to take care of this, then go down there and take care of this. Same thing with me preaching. Every time Pastor Ron calls, I'm like, okay. When the guy called, when David Bean called about the revival, I was like, and I held my breath for a really long time because that was four services. And then I was like, let me pray about it and I'll let you know. And then sure enough, I was like, all right, Justin, suck it up. Do it. We did it. So I had a little bit of Thomas in me. Don't be like that. Don't do that. Know that you're not sufficient. Know that you can't do it on your own. But know that God's right there to hold your hand and take you on. All right. Now, we're going to stop here for just a second and think about the different people in this story. Now, we've got Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the disciples, and Jesus. Now, if you're familiar with the story, this question will be easy. What are these people thinking? Well, Mary's thinking, my brother's dead, there's no hope. Martha's thinking, my brother's dead, there's no hope. Lazarus isn't thinking, he's dead. Okay? The disciples are thinking, I'm going to die. What's Jesus thinking? What's Jesus thinking? Now, I don't think Jesus is very excited to get there. Because I think Jesus wanted to get there earlier so that he could heal him and not have to deal with what he's getting ready to deal with. But Jesus does that because he loves us. Because he told the disciples, I was not there so that you may believe, Or, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Okay? So, he knows he's got to do this. All right. Now, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, first time I read this, I thought, well, her friends are Jews, they come to console her. Then I got to think about those disciples. Well, who was mad at Jesus? It was the Jews. So I'm imagining the disciples are like, oh, look at all those Jews. We're in trouble. And then I think, Martha comes running out to Jesus. She went to meet him, but Mary didn't. And I think about sometimes we're a Martha and we run out there and we're like, God, I love you and I know everything's going to be okay. And this is really hard and I just want you to hold me right now. Sometimes we're a Mary. And you're like, God, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm mad at you right now. I don't understand why this happened, and I'm not going to talk to you. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, which one am I? And think about which one God would want you to be. Verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. As a youth that come to the youth group one time. And his grandmother passed away in a fiery car accident. And from that day forward, there is no God to him. Because how could a God let a woman of that stature die such a horrible death? And you see that right there in Martha's words. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But then she says, but, and I like that. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Sorry. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now see, that's where being a Christian makes all the difference. This isn't it. You're not going to die and be dead forever. Unfortunately, we have to die. That's the punishment of sin. But that's not a permanent death. That's just a physical death. When you become a Christian, you're avoiding spiritual death. You're avoiding being separated from God from forever. All right. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, if you read that slowly, it gets kind of confusing. And you're thinking, okay, well, they're dead, and then they're not dead, and they're dead, and then they're not dead. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. We'll take that slowly. He lives. He believes in me. Even though he dies. You're going to die your physical death. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now spiritually, never die. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. That's her confession that she's a Christian. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. Now, Jesus is asking for you this morning. He's knocking. He's knocking on your door, saying your name. I can't see everybody's name. He's saying your name. I hear he's saying Mary. Mary, I want you to come. Come to me. Let me comfort you. Let me tell you the whole story. Come to me, Mary. And that's what he's saying to you this morning. Now, I think Mary was a Christian. I'm pretty sure she was because she loved Jesus and Jesus loved her. I just have that feeling that she was a Christian. But we go through those times when we're just kind of like, I don't know if I really believe right now. But I think it's important that we see Jesus still drawing. Come to me. Let me love you. Let me take care of you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, some people don't do that. Some people tarry. Some people, like that young man I was talking about earlier, never again. He didn't go back. Now, I'm praying for him. And I hope someday that he does go. Because I know he has just as much chance of doing that as anybody else. Now, she got up and she ran to him. I hope you do that today. If you don't know my Jesus, I hope at the end of this service you do that today. I hope you come running up front and ask God to love you and take care of you. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. So, somebody's always watching. Somebody's watching El Bethel Baptist Church. Somebody's watching you when you go through these situations that are really hard. You're going through times that are not fun. You lose someone that you love dearly. You go through financial problems. You're going through something that just is really hard. People are watching. And some of those are not Christians. Some of those are Christians that need a little bit of encouragement. And so they're watching for you to do what you need to do. And are you running to the Lord? Are you showing them that when you're having a hard time or a bad day that you run to your God and you're like, Jesus, I love you and I need your help with this? Are you showing them that you do that? Or are you pouting, dragging your feet, stomping your feet, whining and moaning and groaning, woe is me? What are we doing? Verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing Martha said. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Why? Because he loved her. And he loved Lazarus. And he loves you. And when he sees you going through hard times, he cries. He's upset. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. All right, for those of you that like to memorize Scripture, here's a good place to start. Shortest verse in the entire Bible, John 11, chapter 11:35. Two words, Jesus wept. Very powerful verse that shows us that Jesus loves you, that Jesus is upset when you're upset. Jesus is bothered when you're bothered, that he wants to be there for you. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And that's what I'm saying right now. They could put that right there too. Justin said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Again, same thing. If he had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. You got to admit, 4 days, and when I think desert, I think hot, I don't imagine it being very pleasant. Now, think about that. That's the physical side. Now think about the spiritual side. If you're spiritually dead, how's life? Well, life stinks. 4 days worth of stink. And the longer you're there and you don't do what you need to do, the worse it stinks. And the harder it is to get rid of. And if you think about yourself as possibly being Lazarus, are you dead? Your Christian walk, does it stink? Do you need Jesus to come and call your name and pull you out of the tomb? Because it does get to that point. It gets to the point where you're stuck in a tomb and the rocks rolled in front of you and you can't get out even if you wanted to, because you get in so deep that you can't say no anymore. Again, that's an addiction. And a lot of times we think addiction to alcohol and drugs, but there's a lot more addictions than that. All right. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" I hope you believe that with all your heart. I hope you believe that, that if you truly believe in God, you're going to see His glory. Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Powerful words. "I knew that you always hear me." Same thing for you. When you go to the Lord in prayer, and it does not have to be on your knees at the altar. It can be driving down the road. Don't close your eyes. It could be driving down the road. It could be sitting at your office. It could be driving your backhoe. Whatever you do for a living, it could be in the middle of the night. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're thinking, "I can't go back to sleep." God hears you then. Every time you speak to God, He hears you. Okay? He wants to hear you. Verse 43. When He had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, I think this story is very fitting to what we've been through this past week or the past couple weeks. I see this story being exactly what Pastor Ron's going through. You know, I just see this as a story of doom and gloom, but a wonderful ending. And the thing is, we've lost people that we know Jesus is not bringing back. But we can be okay with that. Because just like Martha said, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And then Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So even if you physically die, you're going to be coming back. And God's going to love you. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning, I hope you know that God loves you. I hope you know that He wants to take care of you. I hope you know that He wants you to depend upon Him in every situation that you go through. Be it good or bad, He wants you to call upon His name. He doesn't want you to turn your back on Him. He wants you to know that He loves you and He cares for you and wants to comfort you and He wants to take care of you. And that there are situations that you cannot control. And you need someone bigger than you. Someone stronger than you. Someone that's... I love that new commercial. I've only seen it one time. It's the insurance commercial where the guy's got the great big old umbrella. Yeah, those of you who've seen it know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it floats in the air. It protects them from rain. I've only seen it once, so I don't really remember all the stuff. But anyway, this one umbrella takes... Oh, they turn it upside down. They float down a river. God's that way. He's not a big red umbrella, but He will take care of any situation that you come across. And the thing is, if you're not a Christian, when we do this invitation in just a minute, you guys want to come on up. When we do this invitation in just a minute, if you're not a Christian, I hope you're coming up here and finding out what I'm talking about. And if you are a Christian, I hope you're showing everybody that you come in contact with about this great God who takes care of you in your times of need. And I hope you're not a whiny hiney. That's what I call my fourth graders. I hope you're not a whiny hiney that make people think that your God is not taking care of you. I hope that's not you. And I hope that you're coming up here and taking care of that. And I hope if you're going through something that you can't handle, if you're going through an addiction of some sort, if you've got a problem that's just tearing at you, if you've lost your job and you're needing some income, you know, I hope you're coming up here and asking God to help you. to love on you, to put His arm around you and take care of you. And I just want to say that I love my God. I love my Jesus. And I'm sorry for all the times that I don't do exactly what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sorry that I'm not perfect. But thank God He is. Thank God He is. So, Tracy, if some deacons would come up and we'll open the altar at this time, please come forward. Please take advantage of this time. You don't have to come up here and pray. But know that this altar is open for you to leave your worries and your burdens. I hope you've followed the Spirit this morning. I hope if God's calling you that you come on up and did what you needed to do. And I hope you know that just because you leave these doors today, that doesn't mean you can't pray on the way home or pray tonight when you get to your house. Know that God loves you and He's going to take care of you. I thank you so much for listening today. I hope you come back tonight. I don't know what's in store. You have to look in your bulletin. I get fussed at for not reading mine. So I hope you have a wonderful Sunday afternoon with all hearts and minds clear. We will close in prayer. If you'll bow your heads.